Thank you, Lord. I want to talk this morning about the living church. How many of you know if something's living, it can also die? We aren't having any of that around here. We are the living church. The enemy, the longer I'm alive, and especially the longer I'm in ministry, the more I realize and understand that the enemy wants to kill us. If not physically, spiritually. And I don't think there's anything worse than being dead spiritually. Amen. I think if you're dead spiritually, you're a mess. Amen? And so, Lord, this morning, as we look at how we fit in this church, not this church building, not this church body, but in your church, as we fit into the role of the bride of Christ, help us, Lord, to be who You've called us to be and to do what You've called us to do. Regardless of how we feel limited in and of ourselves, we recognize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, I need Your anointing today to preach Your Word. Your body needs Your anointing today to receive Your Word. Those watching by way of the internet today need Your anointing, God, right where they're at, to receive, God, everything that You have. Nothing of what this preacher has to say, but what You have to say through me to us. And God, I submit myself to that in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen,
amen.
And amen. Listen, a lot of people woke up New Year's Day with the resolution that in 2021, they were going to be different. Some of y'all are laughing. You might not be laughing at this next little thing. What is it, a resolution? New Year's resolutions? Yeah. Our resolutions can be, we're going to think differently, we're going to do different things, and subsequently, life is going to be better. At least that's what the hope is, but within a few days, or maybe even a week, it might stretch out for an entire month. But most, if not all, will lapse back into old behaviors, old attitudes, and old patterns. And no laughing is there. That goes for Christians as well. So no matter how passionately you and I feel about pleasing God right now, living a holy life in 2021 will depend on a few key decisions that you and I have to make in and of our life. How many of you have ever just set out, whether it's a New Year's resolution or whatever it may be, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to do this from now on. How'd that go for you? Anybody struggle with that? Anybody stumble and fall a few times over that deal? Turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, reading through verse 18. This is kind of pointed, but it's not my words, it's God's words. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, you are more than welcome to do so. This is what it says, and it cuts right to the chase. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. I pray God add His blessing not only to the reading of His Word, but our understanding of it. You may be seated. How many times have we thought, you know what, it'll be all right. I can dabble with this, I can dabble with that. And at the end of the day, it's going to be all right. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be all right. We have got to quit thinking that we can be coupled to the things of the world and still walk in Christ. This is fun for you as it is me. Sometimes He just is, He wants us how many of you know sometimes we just got to come back to zero? Every once in a while we just got to come back to ground zero. We got to come back to the one place that never changes. A couple of key decisions that we must make if we're going to be a living example of the church in 2021 is this. Decision number one. I will live my life in the power of God's Spirit and not in my own strength or willpower. I will live my life. I don't know why I put a question mark, but it should not be a question mark. It should be an exclamation point. It should be because this is a declaration. I will, not will I, but I will. This is a decision. It's a fact. It's a matter of fact. I will live my life in the power of God's Spirit and not in my own strength and not in my own willpower. I like what it says in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. And so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Church, we got to come to the place where what we do, how we walk, how we talk, how we act, how we react. The react part? Yeah. Yeah. Most people believe that to survive in this world, a person must be tough. A person needs to be strong. A person needs to be unbending and they need to be harsh. Well, I'm just speaking the truth. Well, you know what? You can speak the truth and beat somebody up, or you can speak the same truth in love to somebody and bring correction in their life. But God says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And the key words are by my Spirit. See, how many of you understand this morning about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is not going to just come and browbeat you. I remember working with a guy down out of Medford, and in the winter, we would bring all of our equipment to the shop and work on it. And this guy, I don't even know how this guy was even related or what his role was or why he would. But you could be underneath a cat working on it, and he would just crawl right down there with you and say, I mean, he'd just look right at you and say, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't, you're going right straight to hell. You're like, oh, sign me up. Now, what he said was true, but how he said it brought division. Because I don't want to be a part of that. I mean, I want to be a part of Jesus. I really, really do. But listen, you can get more bears with honey than you can vinegar. And I'm not saying we have to candy coat God's Word, but there's a way to deliver God's Word. There's a way to bring God's Word across. There's a way to tell somebody, you know what, you need Jesus in your life. Let me tell you about heaven. Let me tell you what God did in my life. I was a mess. And let me just tell you, man, one day I accepted Jesus in, and not everything was okay right that moment. But my destination changed. And let me tell you about what God has done for me. And you can use that kind of a method, and it's way easier than saying, look, man, you're just going to hell. We've got to confront sin. Don't misunderstand me. Sin has to be confronted. Sin has to be dealt with. Sin has to be put under the blood and washed by the blood of the Lamb. It has to be done. Amen. But we can do it in a fashion that is honoring to God. See, it's only through God's Spirit that anything of lasting value is accomplished. I was praying with the group in the other room this morning, and I was talking about two things I know. Number one, I know I'm called to be a pastor, and number two, I know that the devil's doing everything he can to stop me. Amen? And so I have to understand that it's only through the Spirit of God that anything of lasting value is accomplished. The exiles returning exiles were indeed weak. They had been harassed. Anybody ever been harassed? The exiles who'd been in exile, they were harassed by their enemies. How many of you know that they were tired, they were discouraged, they were poor, but they had God on their side. Amen? They had God on their side. And as the work on the temple was being completed, the prophet encouraged Zerubbabel and told him of a time when there would be spiritual apathy and that the foreign oppression would forever be abolished. That day is coming, church. That day is coming. As you and I live for God, we have to determine to not trust in your own strength and your own ability. Listen, I'm not going to do this or that anymore, and in 5 minutes you're doing this or that. Because we're trusting in our own spirit. We're trusting in our own strength. And we got to quit doing that. We got to determine to not trust in your own strength and your own abilities. Instead, we have to depend on God and we have to work in the power of His Spirit. Well, how do we do that? You walk by faith and not by sight. You walk according to the Spirit of God, not according to your flesh. Your flesh will say, hey, I'm here. I'm going to lead this horse. Amen? I'm going to lead this show. No, you're not either. We've got to be led by His Spirit. In the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Now, speaking from experience, that is tough. That is tough. How many of you know that your flesh is stronger than you and I give it credit for most of the time? Every once in a while, we get it right and we do the right thing. Death is both spiritual and physical. All people are going to die physically, but only those with the Spirit are going to be resurrected in newness of life. And those who live according to the sinful nature cannot enjoy God's presence in their life, so they are left to their own devices. Amen? How many of you, after you got saved, you went back and you tried to maybe do some of the things that you did before you met Christ, and all of a sudden you found, I can't have fun doing that anymore. You know why? because there's something new inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. You can't enjoy it because God's presence. We see when we're doing things that please the flesh and in fact are in the flesh and of the flesh, then it's impossible to enjoy the presence of the Lord. And it's not because He's not there, but it's because His Spirit is bringing conviction that you and I need to recognize that that's my flesh, not the Spirit of God that's being manifested, that's being trying to be pleased in all these things. So decision number one, I'm going to live my life in the power of God's Spirit and not my own strength and not my own willpower. Decision number two, will my personal life be determined by God's Word and its wise application? Will my personal life, and again, I'm put it in the form of a question, but it ought to be a declaration. I will. My personal life will be determined by God's Word and its wise application. That should be the mantra of every one of us. See, between me and God, I will live according to what He said is right. Listen, you don't have to look very far in our world today to see how right has become wrong and wrong is right and everybody's doing it and it's good and it's that and... And, you know, used to be when somebody said that's sick or you're sick, you were sick. You need to go to the doctor. But now sick means you're really good. Oh, that's sick, man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just a way to change our point of view, to change our thinking. No, it's not sick. Listen, the Bible teaches holiness. Now, I'm going to get on a bit of a hobby horse here. This ain't going to be much fun, but God's the one that changed it, not me. I had a little cute one to present. It was going to be great. It's going to be fun. He said no. The Bible describes this as holiness. Holiness is being set apart. It's being separate. The word actually means to mark off a boundary. To mark off a boundary. We're going to have surveyors come and they're going to measure all of our property lines and they're going to put stakes in the ground. They're going to reestablish some boundaries. They're going to mark off the boundaries of our property so we know exactly what is ours. You have been set apart. There has been a mark of a boundary put on your life by the Holy Spirit. And so that God says, that one is mine. Somebody can come on this property after the marks are established and the stakes have been set and they can say, well, I don't think that's right. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. That's ours. That's ours. It's been established. There have been marks laid out. And we know that that's ours and you have no authority over it. Listen, church, separation is holiness in action. Separation is holiness in action. In fact, that's what the word sanctification means, to be sanctified. If you remember back in, I think it's 1 Samuel in chapter 17, when the prophet came to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to anoint the next king. Amen? He said, all the boys came and none of them were him. And they said, is this all you got? Because the prophet knew he'd heard from God. And he said, is this all? No, there's one more. But I mean, he's just a ruddy little redheaded kid out there tending the sheep. He goes, go get him. Bring that one in. And he said, sanctify him. When he showed up, he's like, that's him. That's the one right there. Sanctify him. Set him apart. Amen? Listen, church, you and I have been set apart. Separation is holiness in action. It's like drawing a line in the sand and saying, don't go there. Don't look at that. I ain't going to tolerate that in my life anymore. Those are things that you and I have to make a conscious decision. I'm not doing that anymore. How many of you have ever done that? How many of you know after you make that declaration, guess what shows up? That. that will show up. Because the enemy is going to do everything he can to stop you. And you have to go back. And you have to realize that separation is holiness in action. And so I'm sanctified. I'm set apart from... Pardon me? That. I've been set apart. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to look at that. I ain't going to tolerate that in my life. You know why? Because now I belong to God. And I've made a choice. And by God's grace, I'm not going back. But what happens if you go back? You say, God, forgive me. Reestablish me in the process of sanctification, of being set apart. Because listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but just because I've been set apart doesn't mean we stay set apart. Living a holy life begins by building convictions and then living within those boundaries. Amen? How many of you remember a week ago, or 2 weeks ago maybe by now, that I said that I was reading my devotional every morning? I was making sure. How many of you know that there have been mornings that I have... I mean, it's been like, I've got to go. No, you've got to sit down and you got to read your devotional. That's what you said and that's what you're going to do. Them logs will wait. And if you know anything about me, one thing that I cannot stand is being late. I'd rather take a beating than be late for work. I can't handle that. But I got to read this devotion. I've got to read, because this devotion is more important to me than even being on time. So the best time to make that lifestyle decision is today. What decision? The decision about I belong to God. I'm making a choice and I'm not going back. The best time to make that, it's a life style decision, is today, before you're in the heat of the moment and set apart from the presence, the pressure rather, of the choice. How many of you know it's easier to make a determination without the pressure of what you're determining in that moment? I remember when me and Tammy was youth pastors in Coos Bay, we would talk to our young people and tell our young people, you know, that one man for one woman. And only to come together after you say, I do. Right? And you know, Johnny wants to take Susie and be romantic out at Cape Arago, because Cape Arago looked out over Cape Arago. Go figure. Beautiful waves crashing, the moon can be lit. I said, listen, don't wait until you get out there in the heat of the moment to set up the boundaries. Number one, boundary number one should be, you shouldn't even be here. That's boundary number one. You've done already screwed that one up. We told them this stuff. I preached to the youth just like I preached to you. That's just how I did it. They still like me today. Don't wait until you're in that moment to make the decision, I'm not going there. We're not doing that. Because I'm telling you, lifestyle decisions are better made today, again, before you're in the heat of the moment and while you are apart from the pressure of the choice. Have you drawn protective, preventative lines around your life? We're not going here. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. That stuff's out. I've drawn the line. If you haven't established your own convictions based on God's Word, here's a no-brainer. You're going to fail. If you have not established... So let's think about this word for a moment, established. We are going to establish boundaries on that property. Amen? we're going to have a guy come and he's going to do all the right things and we are going to establish the boundaries. That means inside the parameter of the boundaries that we have established, we can do basically within reason all that we want to do on this property, right? I can't cross that boundary and really do anything. You know why? Because it's out of bounds. You can't dribble a basketball down the court and step across the hard line and still shoot the basket and make the basket count for the score because you have gone outside of the boundaries. You can't run a football untouched all the way down the sideline and just touch the outside of that line. If you do, you're going to be called back because you've been out of bounds. Church, you and I, as we've got to come to the place where we establish our boundaries and then stay within our boundaries. There's freedom in boundaries. Do you realize that? There is freedom living inside a boundary. It's not constrictive. Is that the word? What? It's not confined. You're not, just because I'm living in my boundaries, it doesn't mean that I can only go this far. Yeah, but you got the freedom to do whatever you want inside that. Within reason, understand? So we've got to establish our own convictions based on God's Word. Otherwise, you're going to fall. You might do okay, church, for a season. But if you don't heed God's call to come out and be separate, you're going to waffle right back into the old patterns of defeat. I don't know what it'll mean for you, but I know what it's meant for me. It's meant for me that some of my friendships have had to go away. Some of my friendships have had to go away because they weren't good for me. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The way that seems right may offer many options and require very few sacrifices. Easy choices, however, should make you and I take a second look. We ought to ask these questions. We ought to say, is this solution attractive because it allows me to be lazy? There's just some things in your life and my life that we're just going to have to work at. I grew up in a house where we cooked on a wood stove. We heated the house with wood. Wood warms you at least two or three times. When you cut it, you're warmed. When you burn it, you're warm. When you go carry it in, you're warmed up. I'm telling you, it takes some work. But the results and the benefits are worth it all. Easy choices ought to make us take a second look. We should ask the question, is this solution attractive because it allows me to be lazy? Because it doesn't ask me to change my lifestyle. I remember when I was in high school. I wasn't a Christian. There was nothing about me Christian when we was in school. Nothing. I even went to church a few times at Cedar Grove Sunday School out in North Myrtle. And our main job was to stare at the pastor. Just stare at him. Because it made him so nervous that he would cry. I don't even know if he's still alive anymore, but if you're watching, sir, I apologize. I'm just clearing that up right now. I didn't go there to have my life changed. I should have. But I can remember in high school thinking about, if I was going to go to church, what church would I go to? And, you know, you start to categorize them. Well, one of the churches that I thought was going to be an all right church that I could go to would be a Baptist church, because you can do about anything They believed the Bible, but you know that you couldn't go to a Pentecostal church, because if you went to a Pentecostal church, you couldn't watch R-rated movies. You couldn't go to dances. Not that I ever went to a dance. I mean, there was just some restrictive things. And so as I was looking to pick, if I was going to pick one, it was going to be the one that I could get away with the most and still fall into what I called the category. My, how things have changed. Because it don't make a difference what you put over the door. What matters is the way that's right. There's a lifestyle. There's lifestyles that have to change. See, we ask the questions, is this solution attractive because it allows me to be lazy? Because it doesn't ask me to change my lifestyle. Because it requires no moral restraints. And the world is preaching a gospel today that says you can do anything, that it's going to be okay. It's nothing really matters. Everything matters. We have to have some moral restraint. Listen, the right church, the right choice rather, often requires hard work and self-sacrifice. Hard work and self-sacrifice. We cannot, church, we cannot be enticed by apparent shortcuts that seem right but end in death. It's important enough that the writer of Proverbs says it twice. He says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. And he says it twice. The first time is in Proverbs chapter 14 and 12. And the second time he says it is in Proverbs 16 and 25. I think that as a fellowship of believers, we can all stand to declare, I resolve once and for all, with the help of the Holy Spirit, as my help and my power, I'm doing it God's way because I belong to Him. Church, we have to understand that we've been bought with a price. The Scripture says, I am no longer my own. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Paul asks for the sixth time in this chapter. Do you think he's trying to make a point? Six times he's brought this up. And for the sixth time in this chapter, he says, do you not know? Can I just break the news to you? You will not be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. You'll not be able to, because you do know, because I've told you. Paul says, do you not know? Indicating that this was a fact the Corinthians should have known, but apparently had missed or forgotten. The words your body in this verse are not referring to the corporate body of Christ, but to every believer's individual physical body is what he's talking about here. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The believer's physical body belonged to God, and in them His Spirit lived, and through them He would accomplish His work on this earth. He wants to do something great through you. Amen. It was so fun Monday when I went to work, because most of the guys that I work with are not believers, but they always ask me, how was church? And so I told them just how church was. And I told them how many was here. And that one guy says to another guy, he said, well, if you would have been there, there would have been one more. And I got on the radio and I said, yeah. And if you'd have been there, there would have been two more. That's how you grow a church. And it got really, really quiet. But I was having fun. It was good. And it was true. Believers' physical bodies belong to God. The principle of you are not your own, it has to be learned before believers can honor God with their body. It's a process you have to learn. You've got to learn. You've got to begin to walk, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And as you do, you're going to understand and you're going to begin to learn that by honoring God, my body belongs to Him. Most people today treat their bodies as a personal convenience for doing whatever they want. But you and I as believers ought to honor God with our body. Just as the temple was a place for worship and for sacrifice and for prayer and communion with God, so should our bodies be used to implement these high purposes. Maybe you've been struggling in a particular area of sin and you wonder if you'll ever get the victory. Anybody besides the preacher fall in that category? God, am I ever going to get the victory? Is there ever going to be a day when I can just not be plagued by this one thing or that thing or the other thing? Listen, I think Paul struggled with some of the same things. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Church, those things that seem to plague us, those things that we wonder if we'll ever get the victory, every time that thing comes upon you and tries to derail you and you say, God, I've set my boundary. I'm not going that way. By choice, by God's grace, I'm not going back. I am living a holy life and by building convictions, and I'm living in those boundaries. I've drawn a line. Listen, every time that thing comes after you and you make that declaration, you walk by the Spirit and not according the flesh, you have the victory in that moment. You are walking in that victory. And the devil will tell you, yeah, but you still thought about it. To which you need to tell him, yeah, but I'm still washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. He don't like that. He ain't going to like that. We ought to honor God with our bodies. We need to hear the tender call of our loving Heavenly Father. Be done with that. Those things don't fit in your life. We are in Him. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. You know why we don't conquer oftentimes in our life? Because we don't put forth any effort. Remember that easy thing I was talking about a while ago? That's what I'm talking about. We just, God will forgive me. I can just walk into this mess. Yeah, He will forgive you, but you're also getting seeds planted. I used to say all the time, I haven't said this for a while. We want to sow our wild oats. Oftentimes, we want to sow our wild oats and then pray for crop failure, and it don't work that way. Yeah, it don't work that way. You can't sow your wild oats and then pray for crop failure. There's going to be, it's a scriptural principle. You put seeds in the ground, a crop is going to come up. You plant seeds, a crop's going to come up. In Him we're overcomers. Maybe we've tolerated you've tolerated your rationalized behavior a long time, and maybe the Spirit of God wants your attention about the compromises that you've been excusing. But before you make a choice that you can't reverse and you begin to reap a whirlwind of consequences, heed the piercing words of His Spirit saying, come out from among them and be separate. A moment's pleasure is not worth the years of anguish. Amen. A moment's pleasure is not worth years of anguish. The only reason that I can stand before you and say that is because I've experienced that very thing. I have went for the moment pleasure and have reaped the years of sorrow because of it. I don't know how the command could be any clearer. God's Word says in our text in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 to be separate from the world's lifestyles. Don't touch what's unclean. Don't sit on the fence. Don't straddle the line. Don't be double-minded. God says, you be holy as I'm holy. That's what He says. That's pretty plain. There's a joy and a blessing waiting for you in 2021. There is a joy and there is a blessing that is waiting for you in 2021. And when you live in the protective boundary of God's holy call on your life, separation from the world involves more than just keeping our distance from sinners. It means staying close to God. The reality, church, is God wants us to mingle with the unsaved. Otherwise, how are we ever going to reach them? But you can be around them, but not join in with them. Because God's called you and I to be the salt of the earth. He's called us to be the light in the darkness. More than avoiding entertainment that leads to sin, it extends into how we spend our time and our money. There's no way to separate our lives totally from all sinful influence. But we are to resist the sin that's around us without either giving up or giving in. How does it happen? It starts at this altar. It starts at the foot of the cross. Starts with a man named Jesus who's reaching out to people like you and I. So if you'd bow your heads with me this morning, see, the enemy's job scripturally is to be the accuser of the brethren. And what that means is that he's going back and forth. And he goes into the very presence of God and he brings accusation against you and I. And if you're here today and maybe you've never even accepted Jesus, you've never invited him into your heart, and the enemy, listen, don't think just because you're in church that the enemy doesn't come here too. And he'll tell you, that preacher's just trying to get you all riled up to make an emotional decision. No, I'm not. I'm trying to present the truth of God's Word to you today so you can make a rational decision. A decision that will change your life forever. Because just because Grandma and Grandpa came to church and were on the deacon board and taught Sunday school and all those kinds of things, and because Grandma always drug you to church, doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you an automobile. There's only one way you're ever going to be a Christian, and that is by saying, Jesus, come into my life. Change me. I submit my life to you. I surrender. Two things that I find very interesting this morning. When you're in a classroom and you know the answer, the teacher will have you put your hand up. When the police come after you, when you've been bad, they tell you to put your hands up. Isn't it amazing that in the church, when we know Jesus, we raise our hands? Number one, we know the answer. Number two, we surrender. We surrender. The Holy Spirit's speaking to some of you today, and He's asking you, have you surrendered? Do you know that I'm the answer? Do you know that I'm the way and the truth and the life? Those of you watching today by way of the internet, do you know? Have you raised your hand? Have you made a commitment? Listen, I think Jesus is beyond us just making a confession. He's asking you and I to make a commitment. Lord, I commit my life to you. Today, if you're in this house, people are praying, eyes are closed, folks are praying. Maybe that person sitting beside you today is struggling with the enemy, trying to make a decision. Your prayers might be the very thing that compel that one to come. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I need Jesus in my life, I want you to raise your hand. Slip it up. Amen. Yes. Yeah, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else, Preacher, that's me. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet. Just type something in there to our people that are watching, and we'll pray with you. You can pray right with us in just a minute, but let us know that you're making that decision. Anybody else, say, Preacher, that's me. I'm asking Jesus to come into my life. If you raise your hand, again, I want you to come right here. I want to pray with you right here if you raise your hand. Maybe you're here today and you just want to recommit your life to Jesus. Say, man, I blew it this week. I'm just recommitting my life. Listen, it doesn't make any difference if it's that every Sunday thing. You just stay before Jesus. Pray this prayer with me, will you? Say, dear Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse me, renew me, and restore me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Establish that stake that defines the boundary of my life is now in your life. And I thank you for it. God, help me every day to make decisions based on your word as I live by the Holy Spirit that you have now placed in me. And I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. I pray you have a great rest of your week. Don't forget Wednesday night. We've been having some really good Bible studies on Wednesday night. Come be a part of that if you can. Otherwise, the ladies will see you on Thursday, and we'll see you back here next Sunday morning. God bless you, and God go with you.